Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk is not letting me into the studio. I've got the site up, and I actually got in to get the show started, but I can't see the switchboard or anything, or to let you in, or to run the show. So sit tight. Oh, here it comes. BlogTalk.com page isn't working. So sit tight. I think this is going to work. I think they're must be having some problem on their end. So I'll let you know as soon as I'd like to work on this a few more minutes to see if we can't get this going. Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
Steve?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay.
Direction we are going.
Direct the El Camino. It would have been DWI.
We have reached a tipping point.
Because most people download this show after the fact. For those of you who hung in there and waited until we got started here a few minutes late, we certainly appreciate it. This is our tribute to Georgia Indie Wrestling by starting a few minutes late. I'm Stephen Platinum. This is Larry Goodman. And as a further tribute, we're going to also take two intermissions for no reason whatsoever. Larry, how are you doing? Larry fought technology and you won the battle. How are you doing this week?
Thanks to Blog. You got to love Blog Talk Radio. Well, I've been in. I'm playing hurt tonight. I've been sick, but I was not going to miss this show. So it is what it is.
Let's just jump right into it. You were at Tooth and Nail 5, Empire's last show in that venue that they've been in for 5 years, and you know a week. A lot of people complain about wrestling. Certainly there was a lot of complaints and fighting going back and forth about different things, including AWE. But, gosh, a show like Tooth and Nail 5, it's one of those things where it's all worth it, where you want it to be epic, you want it to be amazing, you want it to have surprises, and it sounds like that show lived up to all of that and more.
Yes, it restores one's faith in independent wrestling to see that kind of a show. Incredible effort level and from all involved, and a wonderfully appreciative crowd. It was a beautiful thing. It really was. All the way through. If you can call the level of violence in some of those matches beautiful, it was a beautiful thing.
It just sounded incredible. And the one moment in particular I wanted to get your take on, and certainly, you know, your review of the show is available in Georgia Wrestling History, but take me to that moment where the Rejects reunited, those guys are in the ring, and then they played that video for them.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing they did not know it was coming.
They did not know.
That they did not know the video.
And that was a complete surprise.
Yeah, I think so. From the reaction, I think that it was. And yeah, I mean, one, the crowd response. I'd never seen Devil's Rejects in that building, so it was quite shocking to me to see the level of response it got, because I didn't realize how over they were in that building. And I, of course, had never seen Andrew Alexander in his full Devil's Rejects gear, which was impressive. But yeah, the video packages throughout the night were just tremendous. They just did a fantastic job on the videos to, again, as they do so well, to explain the story to people that are coming in and may not even know much about the story. You could get a flavor for the stories just by watching those videos. For overall entertainment package, I mean, I'm so glad to know that they're going to continue running, and that Crazy from the Heat's going to take place this summer. They hope to have a regular building by the fall, but Empire's, it appears, is most definitely not going away. And with that, it appears Stephen Platinum has gone away. No, he's back. Is he back?
About Empire continuing to run, what do you think? I mean, my first reaction upon hearing that they're going to do Crazy from the Heat, which seems like it's going to be sort of a Great American Bash kind of feel, was, man, that's going to be a lot of work. They're going to kind of have to reinvent the wheel promotion-wise with each new show. Do you get the sense, I mean, it's weird because that show felt so epic, just reading about it and seeing all the videos and all out of that show. Do you feel like that Empire is going to be, is there a chance that they can sort of maintain themselves as a big deal? Or is it just going to have like a real like spot show feel where it's just going to happen here and there?
To me, that depends on whether or not they can get a building in the same area that they've been running in, because they clearly have a fan base established in that area. If they have to go to other parts of the state and move around outside of their home base area, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than if they can get a venue close to Chattanooga.
Yeah, I'm just so happy for those guys. I mean, if you sort of chronicle, like if you follow Full Disclosures or Tipping Point, obviously we're big fans of what Empire's done. Big fan of the Mullinaxes, who I think did the promotion right. And obviously Andrew, who's Booker of the Year on one occasion. And Dan and just all those guys. God, I mean, it's one of those shows that I read about and I went, God, I wish I was there. I mean, I absolutely wish I was there to just take all of that in.
Yeah, it really... it was incredible what they did in that show. And, you know, it would have been way too much to do for one night except what it was. I mean, they went out with an absolute bang and went absolute out on top of their game.
Yeah.
And in the ring and with the telling of the stories.
Well, Larry, on Thursday, you went to PCW show, the St. Patrick's Day 5th anniversary show. Did you not?
I did. And I greatly enjoyed it. I thought that was another really good show. It was a real good weekend for shows for me. I got to caught two really good ones this weekend, both really good shows. You know, it was, a really nice feeling that you guys have going at that building in Porterdale. Even though the crowd wasn't what it is on your Saturday night shows, they were certainly quite fired up. And, a street fight that was... quite something to see. And this new guy you have, this money guy, I mean, he's really over in a short time. And we lost Steve again. Is he back?
I
don't
know.
You know, we just lost you. You're back. Okay.
Yes, yeah, cause I had a call. The Blog Talk Radio kicked me off. You see how they are? But did you go to another show on Thursday night after the PCW show?
No, that was it for me.
Gotcha.
No, that was it.
I mean, I'm glad you got to sort of take it in. I mean, those shows have been red hot, and even moving it to a Thursday kind of at the last minute, while it diminished the crowd in numbers somewhat. I mean, you could just they're bonkers cuckoo about the PCW right now.
Yeah, as we talked about on the last show, you've got such a nice blend in your fan base there of kids, families, adults who can sit at the bar and have a beer and take in the show. It's a really good atmosphere for wrestling that's been developed out there. I've got to ask you, though, about the video that you posted related to the upcoming Hardcore Hell show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange thing. I saw the video by Reverend Dan, and if you have not seen that video promoting Hardcore Hell, that is one of the best promos I have seen in an incredibly long time. I just thought it was just nailed it. It had that feel of, hey, you know, like, we'll be coming soon to your area. And then they cut to a promo. It was like, it was that good. And I know that Jeff was going to cut a promo as well. So I feel this is going to sound weird because obviously I didn't work in Anarchy all that long, and it was under very auspicious circumstances. But I feel like I just wanted to help, I guess. I wanted to help, and I thought, you know, Dan did such a good job at sort of conveying the history of that building and the history of Hardcore Hell. And I know Jeff is going to do much the same, that I wanted to just talk about the significance of Hardcore Hell to me and talk a few people in the door that might have been sitting on the fence. And I know it seems like a strange thing to do, but I guess that, and in light of the fact that there's like a few people that have like worked for OSWA and all this kind of stuff. And I just went, I just don't want to see Why We Wrestle suffer. I don't want to see wrestling fail in that building. And, you know, and whoever else thinks about me, that has very little to do with what I think about wrestling and what I think is important. And wrestling in that building is incredibly important to me. I mean, they were the standard bearer for more than a decade, and I want them to have a good crowd for Hardcore Hell. I mean, Why We Wrestle put out this, I mean, you know, they drew 50, whatever. And it seems like things had been kind of coming off the rails, but I feel like Hardcore Hell is their chance to get a decent crowd in there. I mean, I can only assume you're going to be there to review the show, and they have a chance to do just a kick-ass show and sort of hit the big reset button. And I want to just do whatever I can to help with that. That was my thinking behind the promo.
Yeah, it felt a little bit like you were throwing down the gauntlet there, both to the wrestlers and the fans, to support this thing. I mean, I think it is clearly a pivotal show for Why We Wrestle with the way things have gone so far, and with the prospect of an excellent card for this show. They certainly have a chance to turn it around here with the card they're presenting Saturday night. And I'm going to seek out that the Reverend Dan Wilson promo and get that posted, as well as promos from Anthony Henry and David Young for their grudge match coming up at Hardcore Hell. And those will be up at dwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com within the next day or two.
Yeah, this is such a fascinating time in wrestling in general. And the Empire show, I guess in my mind, just sort of brought it home that, God, there are people who are absolutely doing it right. You know, Peach State seemed like they had a really good show. We're going to have Romeo on in just and Peach State's doing it right. You know, Southern Fried, obviously the Charlie Smith thing was just a knockdown, drag-out success. Just so many people in the building. And as these debates rage back and forth about it's the old tired arguments of, should we be supportive of one another? Should we ever say anything bad about anybody? And at the end of the day, my thing is this. It's, you know, cream rises to the top. And the people that know what they're doing, they should keep doing it. And the people that don't know what they're doing, sorry, nobody is under an obligation to make your product work. I even hate the support independent wrestling thing that goes around. It's like, what other industry does that? You know, support minor league baseball. Like, it's, you know, it's a product, and if it's good enough, people show up, and if you know what you're doing, you know, by hook or by crook, you make it work. And
well,
frankly,
you know,
I'm just getting, sorry, please, yes.
No, go ahead. We have our first guest on the line. I do want to talk a little bit more about the post by one Velvet Jones that I think you're referencing, but I'd like to come back to that later, because we do have our first guest of the evening on the line. And this is Mr.
Yes, please introduce.
Michael Griffey, the booker and ringside manager for WrestleMerica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to come on. Just to clarify, I'm more than just a ringside manager. I am the president of WrestleMerica, the president, the POWM, the commander-in-chief. I run things at WrestleMerica now. WrestleMerica belongs to me.
Wow. Well, I this is Stephen Platinum. I don't think you and I have ever met. What's your feeling coming in? Obviously, you have big shoes to fill in Rick Michaels no longer being the booker. WrestleMerica right now, big crowds, big shows, big names being brought in. Do you have a notion to change things, or do you feel your job is more to facilitate the good stuff that's already going on?
Well, you know, we're reaching our first annual show in April. And Carlito Caribbean Cool is our name on the card. We've made a success of bringing in a name to each show, and it's helped us out in Barnesville. And we've had a spot show in Locust Grove. We did with Tommy Dreamer, and we had a couple shows in Ashburn, Georgia. And so we've had some good success at our shows. We've had, you know, we'd like to see some better crowds show up with we had a show with no names on it, if you will, no Fed cred, if you will, and in March and in Barnesville. Didn't get the draw that we were hoping for. I think we had some competition out there that might have taken away locally, but, it gave us a good look at what works best for WrestleMerica. And I was listening in, and, you know, I'm from North Carolina, and I know the Carolina independent wrestling scene very well, both in North and South Carolina, some of the East Tennessee, some of the Southern Virginia. And so this has been a challenge for me to come into Georgia to learn the Georgia independent wrestling scene and to learn what works, to learn, what fans really like. I grew up on Georgia Championship Wrestling and Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. I'm versed into the Southern brand of professional wrestling, if you will. I love saying that, but, it's been a challenge. It's a little challenge for me in that I don't know everyone in Georgia, Alabama, Northern Florida region. So I'm getting to learn some of these independent wrestlers for the first time, meeting them, watching them work, and see what I can do with them, see where I'd like to, see if I can run a good program or what we can do with them from that. But, like I said, we've found success with bringing in a name to headline the card, and I don't see any reason to defer from that as long as they keep drawing. We've had solid crowds. Our two largest shows, obviously, were with Matt Hardy and AJ Styles. And but everyone in between that time has been just really solid shows. Maybe not some of the best wrestling in the world, but I don't think it has to be. I think it has to be entertaining. I think it has to appease the crowd that's in front of you. And if you know your crowd and you see what they react to and you know what they're doing or know what they want, you give it to them. And they'll keep coming back. And our Facebook page, WrestleMerica Facebook page, has over 3,000 likes on it. We're steadily growing. We've probably plateaued, I think, where with our social media reach outs right now, and we're going to have to make adjustments. You know, WrestleAmerica is a really solid promotion, and we've only been at it for a good year, and you know, we continue to do well.
Hey, you know, I noticed you've got a big show coming up in April in Gastonia. Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
Absolutely. For the past 5 years, this is going to be the fifth year doing this show. Being from Gastonia, North Carolina, my hometown, I'm afforded the opportunity to book a spot show for the Gaston County Sheriff's Office, their Youth Explorer program. It's their scholarship program. They have a youth crew that they're learning the ins and outs of being a sheriff's deputy, police work, community service, things like that. Great opportunity there. It's been something that I enjoy doing every year, and I've built it from the first show when we booked Devon Dudley, and we had Bruce the Barber Beefcake on it with Rock and Roll and Powers of Pain. The second year we had we brought in Doc Gallows, D'Lo Brown, Al Snow, Powers of Pain and Rock and Roll Rematch. The third year we had Faces of Fear and ODB and Carlito and Amber O'Neill and Cliff Compton. Last year we had Jeff Jarrett, Mike Knox. It's been a growing show. I mean, the names have just gotten better and better. And so this year I just got fortunate enough to have a conversation with Road Warrior Animal at WrestleCade last year. We got to talking, and you know, we came up to a deal that said, hey, I'll wrestle, you know, and I want to wrestle the Barbarian and Warlord. I want to wrestle the Powers of Pain again. And I immediately went into booking mode when he said it. I got like the goosebumps now even thinking about it, because it takes me back to being a kid watching, you know, like I said, watching the NWA Georgia Championship Wrestling in Mid-Atlantic, and I was like, done. And I called the Barbarian, called Warlord, and I said, we'll make this easy on everybody. I'll book the Rock and Roll in a six-man. We'll put George South in there with y'all, and we'll have us an old-fashioned, colossal six-man tag that will take you back to the past, bring you back to the future. You know, that's kind of, you know, just the goosebump of it. It's like you get to see what, you know, parents that are adults my age, 40 years old, will know exactly what this is. It takes them back. They can take their kids, bring their kids, and show them what they watched and enjoyed and loved about wrestling. And then at the same time, I've got Gunner versus Cedric Alexander in a 30-minute Iron Man match. I'm talking two of the, you know, most, you know, not just decorated, but like two guys that just train and prepare themselves for professional wrestling like no other. And last year, I threw them last minute because Ming had a family emergency and couldn't make the show. So I was like, hey, I've got to fill that spot somehow. I just don't leave it. I didn't want to leave it open. And Gunner and Cedric, they decided, hey, we'll go one-on-one for you. And they stole the show. I mean, they went almost 30 minutes then, and Cedric pulled out a great win at the very last minute, very last second, actually. And so I said, hey, y'all want to rematch it and go 30-minute Iron Man? And they wanted to do 60 minutes. And I went, guys, I'd love to watch them do 60 minutes. I don't know if a crowd is good enough, can stand 60 minutes of great professional wrestling nowadays with the short attention span, not knocking fans or nothing. This is just the way of the world with social media and quick hits like that. But I got, you know, with the six-man on top and you got the 30-minute Iron Man with those two just going, you know, at one another, I'm like, I've got a solid up, you know, main event, you know, dual main event card. And then I've got a 20-man battle royal, the Bravados versus John Schuyler and Corey Hollis. I've got Jeff Lewis Neal versus Tracer X, a young kid who won a triple threat last year against Jeff Lewis Neal and Chase Owens. And so there's a slight little rematch there. And Rob Killjoy versus Will Demented to open it up. Just, you know, it's a great, huge show. Huge show, one that I always give fans more than they expect, and I meet everyone's needs at a show. Like, you want to see this, you'll see that. You want to see this, you'll get to see that. Everything happens, and the ticket price, get this, $10 general admission, flat fee. Just come in and enjoy a great show. it's a no-brainer. If you're a wrestling fan, it's almost a no-brainer to not miss this.
I have a question for you. I mean, something, you know, big crowds and have tried shows in a number of different places. You know, you have your home in Barnesville, but you do spot shows here and there. What are some of the number goals that you guys have? Is there a certain amount of shows that you want to do? Or do you want to get to the point where you're doing weekly? What do you consider to be the crowd goal that you're looking for and that kind of thing? I'm just curious about the numbers that you guys talk about.
Well, in Barnesville, we've had a steady run for 12 months, like I said, averaging, and this is a shoot, I think we're averaging about 250 to 300 every month. In a southern Georgia town where not a whole lot going on, and, money, financially, the way things are in the world, it's solid. It's a solid crowd. Would we love, to increase that? Yes, but
certainly,
can we increase it? When we brought in AJ and Matt, yes, I think, there's some people that would drive a little bit longer distance to come see a star like that. But to keep that 250 to 300 in Barnesville once a month, I wouldn't complain about that if that's all I did. And that's not to say I don't want to do more or would like to see more towns ran and things like that. But you're talking, a lot of people treat independent wrestling as a second job. So their primary, their primary income comes from an 8-to-5 or, Monday through Friday job, and they can't dedicate the time it takes to promote and and put flyers out and hit the road and do all this stuff and make these phone calls and talk with, get everything that it takes to get a show run, especially in a town that you're not living in or you don't have representation in. So it makes it a little difficult to, hey, is this going to draw or not? Is this going to be successful enough? How much do we really put into this? Can we get sponsorships in this town that we don't have any representation in to do so? Now, if you're successful in one town, can you carry that over? Absolutely. But it takes help. It takes support. And, listening in to the speaker before me, it's no one, talking about supporting independent wrestling, I understand his position on it. It's something I read on the internet the other day. It's like, everyone wants you to, they want to see you succeed, but not more than me. Like, I want to see you succeed, but not more than me.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, that's wrestling. I mean, that's wrestling. Independent wrestling 101 is, I want you to do good. Hey, go get yours, but don't get it before I get mine, or don't do better than me. And that's not a terrible thing. That's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. But I do business, I won't say I'm too honest. No one's ever too honest. But, when it comes to business, there's a level of respect that needs to be offered. And if it's not, then you just don't do business with that person anymore. And that's respectful. Hey, if you can't meet me as I'm meeting you, it's a golden rule. I treat you as I want to be treated. So if I'm giving you the respect, return the respect. And I'll give it first before anything else, just because that's how I grew up. And if that respect is, not returned, okay, go on your merry way. I'm not going to bury you. I'm not going to, do anything except take care of my business. And
have you run into people who you felt like weren't respectful enough? Is that something that's happened?
Not for me. I think it's because of the way I've carried myself. I started I've been doing this for 8 years. Got in with the Barbarian, and I'm gonna drop a name. The Barbarian broke me in, and I went on the road with him I've been on the road with 8 years, just about every weekend, going all the way up to New York, all the way down into Alabama, flying in. He got me flown in to Michigan. a few other shows and things like that. He's taken very good care of me as I take care of him. And he's taught me a lot. And at the same time, I get to be on those shows where you have the Ricky Mortons, the George Souths, the Robert Gibsons, the, you know, the guys that know this business, you know, the Al Snows, the guys that know this business, you know, better than anyone could ever, you know, dream of. And I sit down, I get to pick their brains, listen to them, watch them, you know, shut my mouth and listen for the first part and then ask questions. Hey, if I did this, can we do that? Or if I did something wrong and they told me, hey, if you had done this, we could have gotten here, we could have gone there. You know, you just learn. And I've been on the side of when promoters didn't pay. I've been on the side of when, well, you know, just the, you know, we don't have it. I'm like, how do you mean you don't have it? You said you won't pay us, and now you don't have it. You know, it's, and then I've been, so anytime I've booked or anytime I've ever promoted, it's always, do I have the money in hand to pay them? And if I don't, I don't book them. If I know that things are going to be short, I try to do 30 days in advance notice to give other people bookings or try to help them get bookings or whatever I can do to make up for it. And I've even paid out of pocket to guys that, hey, I don't think the draw is going to be any good. If you don't want to drive down here from, you know, Raleigh to, you know, to Charlotte, don't come. I'll still pay you to stay home. People might think I'm crazy to do that, that I don't have to or whatever. But to me, if I booked that wrestler and told him not to drive down and I sent him his money anyway, he's going to remember that. And he's going to say, hey, you know what? No matter what, Mikey's going to take care of me. I'm going to come down. He might even cut me a better deal next time or whatever. So to me, there's a way to respect not just the wrestler, but the wrestling business. There's a way to respect the fans. There's a way to respect, you know, to respect this entire world that we're in, you know, the wrestling universe. And if you go about it that way with the intentions of being respectful, you get it. You get it in return.
Hey, Michael, before we let you go, I'm curious about the name Milky the Mind Cartone. Was that, did that come up when you were coming through with Barb? Or what, tell us about that.
No, well, Barb calls me Mikey. I was out one night with Doc Gallows and Nature Boy Paulie. And we were coming back from a show, and Paul's in the back of the car, and for some reason he didn't say Mikey, he said Milky. And Gallows hears this and turns to me. He's like, that's your new name. Your name is Milky now. Now, at the time, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of it. It seemed like it was, a rib. It just didn't feel good. I didn't like it. I didn't. I protested it. As hard as I protested it, that he just kept on. It's like, no, it's going to be Milky. I'm calling you that from now on. It's it. So a week later, I'm at a show with Barbarian, and I'm sitting at the gimmick table, and I'm thinking to myself, like, Milky, 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 milk carton, milk carton, Milky Cartone. And I was like, as goofy as that might sound, I was like, if it ever, like, really took off, and I don't really put much stock into it because I'm spend more of my time in the locker room or doing gimmicks or whatever else needs to be done at a show. But if I ever really wanted to, like, turn it in, you know, try to make money off it, I think I could put my face on a back of little pint-sized milk cartons and sell them, you know, as gimmicks. You know, so I had come up with all this, this little stick about Milky Cartone, and that's where it came about. And then I just added the Mind because, you know, you had Bobby the Brain. Well, I'm Milky the Mind. So that's how it came about, and I've just stuck with Milky. If we were and do a name drop again, when we had Tommy Dreamer, we were going out to dinner after the show, and Gallows keeps calling me Milky, and Tommy knows me as in his phone it was Chris Hamrick's friend Michael Griffey. So, and it literally is spelled out that way in his phone. I'm like, you might want to reduce that. You know. I'm like, it actually had that whole thing. Chris Hamrick's friend, Michael, and which is just hilarious. And so he's like, why does he call you Milky? And I told him the same story, and he laughed. And he's like, well, now I can change it to Milky, and I know, you know, it sticks. So when I, you know, as the president of WrestleAmerica, Milky's not going to be a presidential name. So I just go with my shoes and run it. But here's the thing. Fans know me as Milky at WrestleAmerica. I've been in the back. I've been all over WrestleAmerica in Barnesville. Like, I've been in front of them in the ring announcer. I sung the national anthem. I've taken money at the door. You know, done everything. I've done everything to help make WrestleAmerica successful. So when the opportunity came where Al Getz got injured and we don't have a heel manager that can really turn the heat up, we sat down, me and Marty Miller, who I love Marty to death. He, you know, hate that he couldn't be on the show tonight, but Marty's such a great guy, does a lot of the social media and does pretty much all our social media stuff. And so we got to talking. I'm like, hey, you know, I could step into that gig. And why don't we just call me the president and I'll just run with it? And so we did. And we did a spot last week in Ashburn with Teddy Long. Had so much fun. And Teddy Long has a brilliant mind. I mean, his experience in the business is, you don't have to explain it. You don't have to say anything. It's Teddy Long. But I learned so much from him in like 10 minutes. And, you know, I made a mistake. He's like, you know what, if you had done this, we could have done that. We could have, you know, built this up a little bit more. And I just sat there and just soaked it all in. I was like, man, that's brilliant. And then I turned to the money man, and I was like, we need another spot with him sometime soon. And so I think we're actually bringing Teddy Long into Barnesville for I think it's our May show. I believe our May 14th show. Teddy Long will be back, and we'll have another face-off, me and Teddy Long. I've got I got a little bone to pick with old Theodore, old Peanut Head, if you will.
Great.
Well, thank you for coming on. And you know, I know Larry might have another question, but I got to say, WrestleAmerica has avoided. My thoughts were, I kind of compared it to the Perks shows that used to happen, which just started off red hot with these huge crowds, and they would bring in names, and then eventually it just dwindled, and went away. But it seems encouraging that WrestleAmerica looks like it's going to be in for the long haul. That they're kind of equipped for a marathon, not a sprint, and that's good to see.
Yeah, we've. It was touch and go there for a second when we had to make some changes back and start making changes in January. We sat down, the front office had a little conversation and how we'd want to go about doing it. I had been committed to WrestleAmerica, driving down from North Carolina every show, partly because I get to hang out with some good friends for the weekend. But, you know, I said, you know what, I just enjoy – you know, coming down and doing these shows. And it's that's why I do it. I just love it. I love professional wrestling, and I've always loved it. And I do this more for experience, more for opportunity to gain further knowledge and have more fun on a weekend instead of just sitting around, you know, watching it. I get to be a part of it. I get to, you know, elicit reactions from fans. And you just, you know, that's the awesomest thing in the world.
Well, Michael, thanks for giving us some of your time tonight. Your enthusiasm comes through loud and clear. This is great.
Oh, yeah.
We look forward to talking to you again to you in the future. Thanks a lot.
Hey, please, yeah, anytime. I'll be happy to jump on. And if y'all want to bring on any other guests and stuff, look me up, and I can help you probably bring some other guys on.
Great.
Thank you. So, Larry.
Yes.
Larry. So, like you said, it's nice, you know, the enthusiasm that comes off of him. Clearly, WrestleAmerica's in it for the long haul. Is there anything about what he said that surprised you at all?
Not really. One of the questions I had, which he answered right away, was I didn't get why they were running Gastonia, because they've run Gastonia before, but that was very clear from what he said why they do that. So, and it's nice that they have that opportunity to run both areas. It does. excuse me. I don't know if they're going to. I did not ask him, and he didn't really clarify if they're going to continue with the spot shows or they're going to just stick with Barnesville. So maybe we can find that out later.
Yeah. Well, Romeo, when is Romeo scheduled to be on?
The French sensation Romeo is joining us right now. Welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I heard you guys. You guys wanted someone with a cute French accent. So here I am.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah,
Romeo, I'm gonna hit you with this question. Romeo, you made the biggest mistake of your life a few months ago and got married. I have to ask you how. Like, you're talking to a couple of old war horses here when it comes to that. How is married life? Feel free to be honest.
So I'm not going to be entirely honest, because I'm sure my wife is going to listen to this at some point. But no, seriously, so far so good. And it's an unexpected question to start the show, but yeah, no, it's been great so far. No, all good, guys. You know, and my wife's American, so you know, beautiful French American love story.
Oh yes, when the French and the Americans get together, look out, Native Americans.
that's it.
Romeo, can you clarify what happened at the last Peach State show? I thought you were to wrestle a match, but it seemed like it didn't happen. What's going on with the tournament? What's going on with you in the tournament?
So it is going to happen, and I'm really, really excited about this. I think, you know, we had some Mitch match and like some matches ran long, but my match with Kyle Matthews is rescheduled for the next show, which is on April 2nd, so coming up in a couple weeks. And it's actually going to be my big comeback, because I broke my wrist and my forearm in two places in November, so it's going to be my big return then. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Tell us a little bit about the injury. How did that take place?
Yeah, so I was wrestling this show for NWA Atlanta, and I was wrestling against Tyson Dean. And it's, you know, it was one of these freak accidents, because it wasn't anything crazy, but I took a front suplex, which is probably a move I took like, you know, 500 times in my career. And God knows what happened. I guess the angle was a little off, and I landed a little wrong, which is a good reminder of you know, how dangerous pro wrestling can be. But I knew right away, you know, I landed a little wrong, and I felt a sharp pain. Look at my arm, and you could, you know, I heard, like, you know, the guys in the front row were kind of like, oh, you know, my God,
oh Lord,
something's wrong. So I have a few amazing pictures from my forearm in a really bad shape after this, but I knew right away that it was broken.
Yes, and that's how you're supposed to do it, people who are listening, who are in the wrestling business. When something messed up happens, you get pictures right away. Well,
that's the way to do it, for sure.
Well done. Romeo, you know, you've worked for PCW on more than one occasion. You're like a consummate pro guy. What's something that you've picked up? What's something that you feel like you've learned since your time wrestling in Georgia?
Wow, that's a tough one. I would say, I guess working with, you know, you learn a lot of things, but I guess what I've learned most is mostly through working with, like, old pros, like Rick Michaels, for instance, is the name that comes to mind right now, and I had a feud with him in, I believe it was in 2014, and I don't think I've learned as much with anyone else than I have with Rick, just because, you know, the way he interacts with the crowd, the way he just knows what to do and how to, like, you know, bounce ideas in the ring and just lead you to a great match no matter what happens was just incredible to me. So I would say, you know, like just the ability to improvise and feed off the crowd was something that I learned a lot about after wrestling Rick several times at Peach State.
You know, Romeo, I was an instant fan the first time I saw you at Peach State, and you came out waving the flag and sang the French national anthem, and just the whole deal. I just loved it. Did you come up with that strictly for Peach State? Is that something you'd used before? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so you know, being so I'm so first of all, because some people ask me, I am from France for real. I was born and raised in France. I moved to Atlanta in 2012, and I wrestled in France and in Europe from 2007 to 2012. And of course, being French in France is not a great gimmick, as you guys can imagine. So my gimmick was totally different back in Europe. And I can talk a little bit about this, where I was billed as being Paris Hilton's boyfriend. And that was really when Paris Hilton's was at the peak of her popularity, and people really hated her. So, you know, I was announced. I was like this cocky guy being announced as Paris Hilton's boyfriend. And if you guys remember, way back when, Luis Piccoli did a similar gimmick when he was in Mexico, where he was announced as being
Madonna's boyfriend.
Madonna's boyfriend,
yeah.
Exactly. So I kind of took it from him, and I had a great run with this, and it was really, really fun. It landed me on French television with people wondering if it was real or not, and it was just a lot of fun. But obviously, so then I moved to the U.S. in 2012, and so the Paris Hilton thing was kind of old news at this stage. And I was also like, I'm a big believer in strong gimmicks, and I think that's something that the wrestling business as a whole has lost over the years, and people are larger than life, and you know, you can either love or hate within the first 10 seconds that you see them. And so, you know, I moved to the U.S. and I moved to Georgia, and I was like, okay, what's going to make me different? And it's kind of a no-brainer, right, that I have a little bit of the accent, I'm French, I wrestled in France. So I did put all of this together myself, and I'm glad I did, because it really took off, and it worked probably better than what I had anticipated. So now, you know, I've been through several stages, but now I'm really known as the French sensation, because that's what's really stuck. And I think when I come out waving the flag and singing the French national anthem, that's one quick way to make everyone hate you.
Talk to us about your training in Europe and starting that way in Europe.
Yeah, for sure. So the thing is, I don't think people in the U.S. and wrestling fans and wrestlers in the U.S. realize how spoiled they are, because literally you could find probably good wrestling schools every 50 miles. The sport of pro wrestling is not as popular as it is here in Europe. So, you know, when I decided I wanted to give it a shot, the first step was really, okay, what are my options? And really in France, you had back then in 2006, you really had two schools in the whole country that were decent. So I made my mind to go to the ENFC, Institut National de Formation au Catch, which was led by Pierre Booster Fontaine, who himself was a trainee of the Flying Frenchman, Edouard Carpentier, and you guys probably remember him. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Oh wow, that's about as big a name as you're going to get, actually. That's
exactly.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Exactly. So my trainer
was
trained.
We just didn't pronounce it that way. Up in the Midwest, they called him Eduardo Carpentier.
I tried to Americanize the name as much as I can, but that's the best I can do. But so the guy who trained me, Pierre Fontaine, was trained by Edouard Carpentier. And so I would do is, because the school was like something like 5 or 6 hours away from where I lived back then. So I would work 3 weekends a month, because I was still a student back then. So I would work 3 weekends a month just to have enough money on the last weekend of the month to be able to travel there and train and get back. And so, obviously that was a little bit of a tough schedule because I couldn't go to the wrestling school as often as I'd like. But I ended up graduating in about a year, and spending all my vacation time over there and, you know, doing these weekend training, intense training sessions. So I ended up graduating in about a year. And finally, Pierre Fontaine is also a promoter, and he has a ICWA is the federation I started for in July of 2007. And that's how I started.
What countries did you wrestle in Europe?
So I wrestled in, and I'm probably, you know, so the thing is, Europe is kind of, it's somewhat small, so you can, it's somewhat easy to wrestle abroad, but I've really wrestled all over France. I've wrestled in Belgium a lot, I've wrestled in Hungary, I've wrestled in Switzerland. I believe that's it, guys.
Did you find when you wrestled in Belgium and France and all over the place, did you find that they were craving gimmicks? Like, what's the part of professional wrestling that they seem to gravitate towards? Was it the kind of thing where it's they wanted it to be treated like a sport, or were they very happy to have gimmicks, or was it like they wanted like this sort of circus feel where it's like it's a little bit of everything?
What was the
style of the shows?
Yeah, it's really the last one, and of course it's going to depend, you know, based on the federations you're working with, right? But more often than not, it's going to be the circus feel that you were mentioning, where it's a little bit of everything. My take on it is that when you're not on TV and people don't know you, you have to just sell yourself again every single time you go out. So my personal take on it is that you need a strong gimmick, because that's the only way to establish a character in the short amount of time that you have in front of the people.
What was your gimmick in France? Obviously, you weren't the French sensation. So what did you do? What was the early stuff that you did?
So that's what I was mentioning earlier, like the Paris Hilton's boyfriend thing. So
how did you get that across?
Well, you know, it was all about. So my entrance music was you know, a song by Paris Hilton, which was absolutely terrible, as you guys could imagine.
Not the Tide Is High, not her version of the Tide Is High. It probably was though. Oh,
I don't believe it was this one, but it was another one that was probably just as bad. So there was the song. There was, you know, of course, I had a big, you know, I had a T-shirt with our face on it, and I would always cut promos, being like totally delusional and explaining how I was, you know, Paris Hilton's boyfriend, and I was flying back to go see her right after the show, and yada yada yada. So it was a nice little, you know, package, and it worked quite well.
Oh man, so Romeo, you know, you're a married man, obviously, like a consummate pro in the wrestling business. What are your goals? I imagine they're different than they were in 2006. Like, at this point, are you wrestling to have fun? Are you wrestling as like a supplement to your income? Like, what's your approach to pro wrestling right now?
Yeah, so you know, I think I was really lucky to have a really, really good trainer. And he kind of, you know, ingrained it in my head to see this as a second job, which is, you know, because he was like, you may not be able to live off of wrestling, but you need to see it as a job. Because if you don't, then you're not respecting the sport. And so I try to keep this in mind every time I get in the ring and every time I prep for shows. The one thing I would say is that with age, I guess, the stress level is a little lower, and with experience, the stress level is a little lower. So, you know, I do try to stop and smell the roses a little bit more and enjoy myself, which wasn't necessarily the case at the beginning when you're just stressed out and you want to, you know, have crazy awesome matches every time and you beat yourself over the head because you missed half of one spot. So not saying I completely stopped doing this, but I think I'm a little better at just enjoying myself.
Yeah, it's from watching you in the ring. It seems like, you know, you work hard and you certainly bump hard, but you don't do a lot of crazy high risk stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it's on purpose, because I'm also a big believer that the bad guys, the heels, should never look great in the ring or look better than the face. So, you know, I kind of built my style knowing that I'm more of a natural heel to make sure that I wasn't going to be doing a lot of high flying and that I would never do anything that looks better than what the face is going to do. And that, I think that's part of my whole philosophy, and it always drives me crazy when I see it. And it might be too much of an old school mentality, but it always drives me crazy when I see bad guys doing crazy flips and moonsaults and things that look amazing, because to me it takes away from the heat that they could generate.
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Romeo, you've been a phenomenal guest, and since we're approaching the end of the show, you know, recently, obviously WrestleMania is coming up, and, you know, with that, the Hall of Fame, and one of the people that got inducted or going to be inducted in Texas are the Fabulous Freebirds. We play a little game called Is He High, where we play promo, and then the three of us determine on whether the person was high when they cut the promo. Would you like to play? And so I believe, Larry, if we have him on board, the Fabulous Freebirds are going to be inducted. Very much deserved, of course, especially in Texas. Larry, do we have a Fabulous Freebird promo for Izzy High?
Well, I mean, I know it was here. Let me search through this long list of promos here and see if I can come up with it, because I did upload it. Bear with me for just a minute.
Gotcha. Romeo, are you familiar with the Fabulous Freebirds?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And, you know, such, you know, flamboyance, and their style was just incredible. Not saying that they weren't great wrestlers as well, of course, but to me that's the style and the charisma that really stands out, and that's the thing that I remember most.
I thought that was a team done right, where, like, Gordy was, like, the big guy that could work.
Yep.
Buddy Roberts was put in there as, like, you know, when I was a kid, it was just like, oh, Buddy Roberts sucks. Like, I mean, it's one of those things you learn later. It's like, no, they put him there to basically prop up Michael Hayes in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, and Michael
right.
Hayes was pure charisma and gimmick and all that stuff. So.
Totally.
Got it.
No, I think it's a great analysis.
Here we go.
Oh, Larry, oh, is it ready? Oh, here we go.
Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La, la, la,
it's
da,
time
da.
To play Is He
High? Talked about a fucking pound of weed and played a bunch of video games.
Weed is tight. Weed is
get
tight.
Ready?
That's awesome.
Oh, my word.
Whoa, what's going on,
Freebirds? I love it. Michael Hayes, Buddy Roberts, Terry Gordy. Gentlemen, tonight is the night. Here in Boston, the Moondogs. Are
debut.
You ready?
The debut of Freebird Fantasia. The debut of Bad Street and Beantown. Talking about the Green Monster. Talking about Carl Yastrzemski. And now a whole new sports franchise coming to town. The cards and letter have come in for years and years, and we stopped the schedule. We put a halt to the schedule to bring it to Beantown. Because, you know, there's a lot of people up there that run their mouths. Guy like Roddy Piper. You know, guy like Roddy Piper, you were the kind of punk that never came in the bathroom at school when we were in there. And the Moondogs. Reminds me of that old dog we used to have on the farm, Bam Bam.
You know, I'm about to tell you, you know, there's a lot of people out there in Boston that probably don't like us. We really don't care. There's probably a lot of people in Boston that like to cuss us, might even want to spit on us. Just go ahead, be ready to suffer the consequences. And that's right, you know, they do remind me of an old sheepdog I had one time. And this dog, he followed me everywhere I went, man. And one day I was out in the field, and I was doing some stuff, and this dog snuck up behind me, and he bit me, man. And when he bit me, I started kicking that dog like I ain't never kicked a dog before. And you know I don't mind getting nasty on a dog
if
a dog sneaks up behind me and bites me.
That is a well-known fact. Buddy Roberts, your thoughts?
Well, okay, we come in here, and they're putting us against the top Moondogs. Well, if you ever gave it a thought, Moondogs, when we put our boots on and we put it right there, you're going to end up on the moon, boys.
Where?
Born on a planet rock in a city they call Party Town, raised up on a street they call Bad Street, and the reason they called it bad was the further you went down the block, the better it got, and it's going to be bad in the garden.
Oh, God. Larry Goodman, the fabulous Freebirds. Were they high?
It is hard for me to believe that these gentlemen were in their natural state when they cut that promo.
I was talking about earlier today. We were actually talking about Michael Hayes. Jeff G and I were like going back and forth about how underrated Michael Hayes was, and he really was one of the best stick guys ever. And he was saying his favorite wrestling cover was it's Michael Hayes holding a bottle of Jack Daniels and Kerry Von Erich holding a bottle of milk on the same cover, which is awesome, and also perhaps the biggest misleading misnomer in the history of wrestling, Kerry Von Erich there with a bottle of milk, unless he was washing down somas. So Larry says yes, Romeo. There is no right or wrong answer, but the fabulous Freebirds, were they high during
that
promo?
There is a right answer, and the right answer is to say they were definitely high. Yeah.
Well, we're already at 2 out of 3, but I'll go ahead and chime in. I'll say this. Freebirds were definitely drunk, which made them awesome. But I'll say this, Mean Gene with the line, that is a an absolute cold fact as a response to Terry Gordy saying, if a dog tries to bite me, I bite him first. And Mean Gene, straight as an arrow, going, yes, that's an absolute fact. Everybody knows that Terry Gordy bites dogs. Mean Gene, clearly high as well. So a clean sweep. Congratulations to the fabulous Freebirds, to Jackie, and to any, gosh, there's, you know what, I got to say, I think it's a good WWE, Hall of Fame class this year, Larry.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, well, I love hearing that Stan Hansen was being added. I'm one of my all-time favorites. I do think that they, in that area, they've done well this year, unlike a lot of other areas, but in that area, they've done well.
You know, when they're talking about, Romeo was talking about how important gimmicks are, and you look at the people who got in. I mean, Hansen lived the gimmick. The Freebirds lived the gimmick. Sting, you know, sort of embodied his characters as well. And again, in this day and age where guys look at Ring of Honor and guys that, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the accusation of guys coming out of the, like, training in WWE was they were cookie cutter. Now it's anything but, and I think wrestling is all the better for it. Romeo, is there anything you want to talk about before we get going?
No, thank you so much, guys, for inviting me. It's been fun.
Sure has. Thank you.
Well, definitely check out Romeo at Peach State Wrestling, and I'm going to have to see if I can talk him into coming up to PCW as well a time or two. Well, for the French sensation, Paris Hilton's boyfriend, Romeo, let's see, who would Larry have dated? I don't know. If you were Paris Hilton's boyfriend, Larry, huh? Joan Baez's boyfriend, Larry Goodman.
Oh, for God's sake. Hey, wait a minute. You're not signing off here yet, are you?
Uh-oh. Well, I was going to sign off. Why, Larry?
I wanted to touch base back on Velvet.
Oh, boy.
Velvet's post.
All right. Well, let's let Romeo go so he doesn't get in the middle of this brouhaha. Romeo,
gone.
Thank you once again for being on. He's gone. Okay. So, AWE had their show.
Right, and for those
yes.
who didn't catch it, Velvet Jones posted afterwards that same night after they had released their report that they only had 50 people. He posted the following. The Fed that made bold predictions about revolutionizing wrestling in Georgia drew only 50 fans. Considering they've been running for 2 years and have drawn 40 to 75 fans consistently, are you really surprised? Even a shine turd gleams for only so long. But once it loses its luster, there's no denying it's always been a piece of shit and always will be. Good night, all.
That, of course, sparked a number of impassioned responses from AWE fans and people who perform at AWE, and a lot of back and forth went. Here's my quick and dirty take, and this might surprise people. you know, when you're talking about success, thinking about what's the measure of success, and there have been great shows. I saw Kendall Wallace put a thing. I've seen great shows in front of a very small crowd, and I've seen really terrible shows in front of hundreds. And I think that that's definitely true. My take is simple. If AWE doesn't want to be regarded as a failure, then their promoter should quit saying that they are all of the time. And that goes for any number of promotions where the guys just say too much on social media. It's just hard to put yourself in a debate about success or failure when you yourself are always putting foot forward. That's my initial reaction to the whole thing, Larry. What is yours?
That, you know, whether they draw 50 or 100 or 200, can they? Do they have a model that allows them to sustain, or does it become just another flash in the pan promotion? So if they can work out a model, like, you know, I'm just PCW, you don't draw throngs in Porterdale, but you got a model that works.
Yeah, we make money. I mean, and that's always been a counter to, and you know, you were there for the Academy Theater shows. That place had 44 seats. And at the same time, and people have scoffed when I say controlling costs is the key to wrestling. Like, if you, because my number one obligation as promoter is to make sure that we stay in business and we pay the bills. And I mean, I'm not going to cast aspersions on AWE, but I mean, if you have financial problems that are significant, if there's people that you haven't paid or that kind of stuff, I mean, you're not doing the job that you're supposed to do, point blank, period. Now, there's a lot of talk about, you know, they've got a lot of buzz and they're well regarded and people drive 3 or 4 hours to come see the show. All of that's true. But at the end of the day, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And there's a reason that we're talking to somebody from WrestleMerica and not talking to somebody from the Perks. Because the name of the game is keep your promotion going. Now, if you can have a moment like Empire Wrestling had, you know, I think it would have been a very sad thing if Empire was gone for good. I don't think anybody would have been happy with that, because it's one of those promotions that fans love. And I mean, the proof that the fans truly love that promotion came out, didn't it? I mean, they had like, it was legit standing room only for Empire,
legit,
was it not?
Legit, legit, completely packed people standing for 4 hours. Legit. Yeah.
And I mean, and they're going to continue to go. I mean, you know, I often cite Sacred Ground 3, where it was just one of those shows where everybody was there and knew that they were a part of something special. I'll say this last thing, and then I'll let you give your thoughts, Larry. I think wrestling promotions need to hear this. Wrestling people need to hear this. And wrestling fans need to hear this. Show, don't tell. Again, you can say whatever you want about anything, but things shake out at the end. Velvet loves to say that numbers don't lie, but numbers do, but numbers can be very deceptive. I think at the end of the day, it's how you're remembered historically that really tells you which groups mattered, which groups tended to matter less, and which groups were the real deal, and which ones are still figuring it out. But at the end of the day, I think guys are better off letting things speak for themselves, and for God's sakes, quit showing your weakness all over the place. And this isn't just about AWE. This is about a number of promotions where, frankly, I'm shocked at the things that they reveal and their own anxiety and their own weaknesses. They would say, we're just being honest. I would say, you're just being stupid, and you're exposing a part of the business and yourself that does nobody any favors. And you can't sit there and bitch and moan when you yourself downgrade your own product. Thoughts, Larry?
I mean, I just can't imagine promotions, any promotion years back, ever disclosing any kind of stuff like that. It's so counterproductive business-wise. I really enjoy the AWE product. I want to see them succeed. I want to see them continue. It frustrates me when they do things at points that seemed to be getting in the way of that, a la encouraging people to get up, like right up against the ring, so that somebody inevitably is going to get hurt.
Such short-term thinking. Yeah, no, at the last show, they were absolutely – I mean, in that venue, to be fair, that venue is bigger, and they only had 50 people. And I think the thinking was, God, let's just put them right next to the ring and black out everything else. But, why set yourself up for a potential problem? That's another thing I think different promotions need to look at. Why set yourself up potential like lawsuit situation or a thing where you're alienating fans just for, I don't even know why you would do it, honestly.
Yeah.
So, Larry, where are you going to be this weekend? Obviously, you're going to be at Why We Wrestle on Saturday, I assume?
Well, yeah, one show this weekend, and that will be Why We Wrestle for the 18th annual Hardcore Hell. Can't miss that. How about yourself?
Yeah. It's my spring break from my teaching job, and so we're just having fun with the kids and the wife. My wife, too, our big deal is she's decided to not teach next year, and she got a job with Disney right away. Disney hired her to do puppeteering stuff. So it's a very exciting time in our household. Yeah, she's meant to be a performer. And, she was being a responsible, great person that she is, where it's like teaching, it's a very stable job, blah, blah, blah. But she is a performer at heart. And so that'll be great. I may try to get to a show on Saturday here in Florida, but I will definitely be at PCW on April 2nd. I'm definitely showing up there. Because we got a lot of stuff going down at PCW, of course. But, I can't wait to hear about Why We Wrestle. Next week, Three the Hard Way with Matt Hankins and Big Wood will be on. And we will be back the week after that. Definitely check out Georgia GWH News and Notes.
GWHNewsAndNotes.blogspot.com or just Google GWH News. We're the first thing you see if you Google GWH News.
Yes, the reports from Larry and Alicia Stockton and other people are up there, so you can keep track of what's going on in the Southeast. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Special thanks to our guest tonight from WrestleAmerica and Romeo. And we will see you in 2 weeks on The Tipping Point. Oh, listen to this music. What?
Truckin', got my chips cashed in.
I can't explain it, Steve. I had it running through my head for the last week.
I think it's fantastic.
No less in line. Just keep chugging on.
You and Joan Baez used to love this one, huh?
Yeah, right, right.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. I got to get Romeo, and I got to play the Paris Hilton version of The Tide Is High. I'm going to make him do Paris Hilton's boyfriend again. He doesn't know that yet. Kate made that. But it's going to happen. What a great song this is. Man, I haven't heard it in a long time.
It was actually, Steve, it was after I came home from the PCW St. Patrick's Day. I had this song running in my mind. I don't know why.
Huh.
Most of the cats that you meet on the street become true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home.
Nicely done. Well, if you're still listening to this, get out to Why We Wrestle on Saturday night for Hardcore Hell, the 18th. 18! Larry? 18 of the... How many Hardcore Hells have you been to?
I think I've only missed one, maybe two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was glad to see that Jeff was going to be on, because it would have been, he would have missed the first one, but no, he's going to be on. And he's going to be on Talent, on the Talent Show.
Awesome. No, I mean, this I'm excited about this show. This could be really good.
I think so. I think this is. I think this puts the train right on the tracks, and hopefully they keep it going. So.
All right. We will see everybody in 2 weeks.
All right. Have a good night.
What in the world ever became of Sweet Jane? She lost her father. You know she isn't the same. Living on red vitamin C and cocaine. All a friend can say is ain't it a shame.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.